Welcome to this Thursday edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball here along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And in just a few moments, we'll introduce you to our guest today, Brian Fickert. And Chuck, you have a very special reason why you want people to meet Brian.
Well, Brian is an awesome brother in the Lord, and we've had a long relationship with him going all the way back to our calling as an organization to be equipped to reach the world's poor and ultra-poor. And when we use those terms, we're referring to people who earn less than $2 a day, according to the United Nations index called the Purchasing Parity Index, meaning if a person lived in this country and they had to survive on their income, it would be the equivalent of $2 a day or less. So obviously that is very deep, serious poverty. And as we began to respond to the call on the ministry to reach the world's poor and ultra-poor, we turned to find experts who really understood that space and asked them to share their knowledge and wisdom with us so that when we went forward to serve the world's needs, that we would be equipped to make a true, meaningful difference. And as we got to know Brian, we found him to be a wealth of knowledge and information. And so today, he's going to come on the program and share with us many of the things that he taught us some years ago. I've also had the privilege of endorsing his book called When Helping Hurts, because I believe so many people really want to make a difference in the world today. They want to serve the poor and the needy around them, but they don't know how, and they're not truly equipped. And sometimes we truly do more harm than good. And that's a frightening thing. And Brian will explain how we actually hurt the world's poor by some of the approaches that we have taken, even on our short-term mission trips. So I know that our listeners are very involved in expanding the Lord's work. You're involved through your church. You're involved with other ministries. And you do have an interest and a desire to be an effective tool in the Lord's hands. And Brian's going to share with us some of the knowledge that I think will make a huge difference to you. You don't want to miss this interview. Also, Dave, one of the points that Brian's going to make today was significant in my own personal understanding that validated the idea that I believe God gave me to use visual media to reach the world's poor. And so Brian was a part of that effort. I have deep respect for his knowledge and appreciation for his input into our effort. And in fact, I think that when you hear him today, he's probably going to give you some new, fresh ideas of how you can make the most difference in God's kingdom as well.
Well, in just a moment, we'll introduce you to Dr. Brian Fickert. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. We'll take a short break and be right back.
Abraham. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and our guest today is Dr. Brian Fickert. Brian is the executive director of the Chalmers Center for Economic Development at Covenant College, also the author or co-author of When Helping Hurts, How to Alleviate Poverty Without Hurting the Poor and Yourself. And Brian, you're also a dear friend of mine. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much, Chuck, for having us on.
Well, it's been my privilege to endorse your new book because you and I are on the same page when it comes to helping the poor. We have a very similar heart. But let's start by helping our audience understand the definition of poverty. How do you define poverty?
Well, Chuck, that's a great question, and it's a really important question because how you define the problem of poverty shapes the solutions that you use to alleviate that poverty. And most Americans lean towards kind of a material definition of poverty. We think of poverty as being a lack of things. And so our solutions then tend to be about giving people things. But we take the perspective that human beings are created in the image of God. God is fundamentally a relational being. He's three in one. And as his image bearers, we are also created for relationships. And we think Scripture teaches that human beings have four primary relationships: a relationship with God, with ourselves, that's kind of our self-image, a relationship with others, and a relationship with the rest of creation. And to be fully human is to live rightly in those four key relationships. And of course, the fall has broken those relationships for all human beings. And so we think that all poverty and, quite frankly, all the problems that human beings experience are rooted in the brokenness in those four key relationships. And so when you take that perspective that poverty is rooted in that brokenness, that shapes the way that you approach working with the poor.
Well, it has shaped my thinking as well, Brian, and you've been a consultant to us as we've endeavored to create meaningful solutions through our organization to serve the poor. And as I look at that framework that you've just outlined, if we see someone, let's say homeless in America, I now see them as not just lacking material things, but being alienated in all four of those key relationships in their life. And that's one of the primary reasons that they are in the circumstance that they are, because all of those key relationships are now broken, right?
That's exactly right. You know, so often our response to that homeless person is to want to give them something, and sometimes there is a place for that. But the deeper issue is, how do we restore that person to living rightly in those four relationships? And that doesn't mean doing less for that person. It means actually doing more. But it means doing something different from handing them money. It means engaging with their life to try to work about the kind of reconciliation that Jesus Christ can bring to them.
You know, Brian, in your book, you wrote about the rise of the social gospel in the early 20th century and how it changed the way Christians approach poverty. Can you explain what is the social gospel and what consequences did it have on the church?
Yeah. The social gospel really wanted to bring about the benefits of the kingdom of God for all of society. And of course, I want to see that too. But many have rightly criticized some of that movement for wanting to bring about the benefits of the kingdom of God without people repenting of their sins and trusting in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And it's really only through that relationship with Jesus Christ that we can enter into his kingdom and receive the full benefits of that kingdom. And so many evangelical Christians reacted against the social gospel and said, you know, this is sort of do-goodism without the ultimate do-gooder, Jesus Christ himself, the only one who can restore us to living rightly in those four relationships. And so it's a divorcing of the words of Jesus from the deeds of Jesus. And we think the words and deeds of Jesus must always be kept in tandem.
Well, Brian, I couldn't agree with you more that there is no long-term lasting solution to poverty without Christ. And so often in many endeavors, we try to eliminate Christ from the solution. I see that in the teaching of biblical financial principles. There are many who want to get the wisdom of God, but not from God. They want to try to strip those two out and simply live by his principles, but have nothing to do with him. You know, I know there's disagreement in the body of Christ on the best way to care for the poor. What do you think is the very best role for a Christian to assume in helping to alleviate poverty?
There's so many different roles that Christians can assume. I think, quite frankly, in almost any aspect of life, whether one is working for the government or in business or in the church, there's really a need for a multitude of responses on behalf of the poor. But I'm particularly concerned, as is my co-author, that the church, the institutional church, equip the saints for the work of the ministry on behalf of the poor. You know, throughout Scripture, the church is given a special calling to communicate the fullness of Jesus Christ to the poor and the hurting. And we believe the church has kind of abdicated that responsibility a bit, and now we're seeing the church start to reconnect with that gospel mission. And we want to see the church strengthened, and that's kind of what our book is about, is trying to strengthen the church to move ahead more aggressively and effectively on behalf of the poor.
You know, Brian, in America, we really don't even understand poverty very well. What do you think we need to know about it that we don't understand today?
There's so many things there, really, but I think one thing is just that poverty is multifaceted. It's not caused by one thing, and it can't be alleviated by just one thing. You know, sometimes political conservatives want to reduce poverty to the spiritual problems of the poor or to the personal sins of the poor, and that's often a contributor to poverty. Political liberals want to reduce poverty to structural injustice. They want to fix the structures. But, you know, I actually think a biblical framework says that the fall has affected everything, both individuals and their sin, but also social structures. And so our solutions have to be very comprehensive as well. The second thing I want to emphasize is that poverty is not simply material, but also relational. Again, that goes back to that definition of poverty that we discussed earlier. We tend to think of poverty in material terms, but when we think of people as being relational beings, it changes the approach that we use to alleviating their poverty.
Well, you know, Brian, from my perspective, there are really two forms of poverty. There's what we see here in America, what we view, homelessness and those sort of things. But in other parts of the world where you and I have both been, we see poverty in a very extreme manner, where people are living day to day on the edge of survival. They may not live till their next meal or their next drink of clean water. Does your book address that issue?
Yes, it does. It's a great question. You know, again, if we take a material definition of poverty, there's really nobody in America who's poor by the world standards of material resources.
Well, I want to talk to you more about that and how we can help other people in poverty without hurting them. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with more from Dr. Brian Ficker.
Are you ready to begin your journey to financial freedom? Let Crown co-founder Howard Dayton be your personal tour guide using the brand new Your Money Map video guide. It's based on the popular Crown Money Map, which is the practical, biblically based resource putting over 300,000 people on their journey. This new video guide was created to give you step-by-step guidance and encouragement. The 6-part video guide is perfect for individual or group study, and no facilitator training is required. Simply watch it while following along with Howard's book, Your Money Map, and you're ready to start. Take the next step towards true financial freedom by going online to crown.org or calling 1-800-722-1976 for the Your Money Map video guide. Again, that's 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Dr. Brian Fickert, the co-author of When Helping Hurts. Brian, you were explaining when we left off that we can't look at poverty just through the lens of material possessions because it skews what really is poverty when that's our only definition, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. You know, again, if you take a relational view of poverty, there are many, many people in the United States who are deeply poor in the sense of not seeing themselves as having inherent dignity and worth and being created in the image of God. There's often a sense of hopelessness and meaninglessness that undermines their ability to experience God and humanity in the way that God intended. So they're not materially poor, but they're deeply poor in the sense of suffering from those four broken relationships that we discussed earlier.
Well, your book explains there are three different ways to deal with poverty. Would you explain what those are and the difference between the three, Brian?
Relief is the first context in which poverty alleviation can take place, and relief is the appropriate kind of intervention when the person is completely incapable of helping themselves, and there's very much a kind of a provider-receiver dynamic, and the Good Samaritan is a good example of when that's appropriate. There's a gentleman who's laying on the side of the road, completely incapable of helping himself, and the Good Samaritan provides a handout to him because the gentleman can't do anything to help himself, and so relief is appropriate in certain situations. But in most situations, people are able to participate in their own improvement. And so that leads us to the second situation, which we might call rehabilitation. Sometime after a crisis has hit, after a tsunami or a hurricane has hit, sometime after that and the bleeding has stopped, the local people are able to participate in their own recovery from the, that crisis. And then the third kind of context is development, and that's really working with people who are not recovering from a crisis, but rather are in a long-term chronic situation where they need somebody to walk with them across time to help them to achieve all that God has designed for their lives. And so it's very important to distinguish whether the particular context in which you're ministering requires relief or rehab or development.
Oh, that's excellent, Brian. So I want to ask you the hard question. When does helping hurt? All of these solutions sound like good solutions. So how could it possibly hurt?
There are many instances in which we try to provide relief in contexts in which relief is not the appropriate intervention. So, for example, a soup kitchen. My wife and I volunteered at a soup kitchen many years ago, and the people in that soup kitchen did not need relief. They actually have the capacity to help themselves, and what we did is we did everything for them, which would be appropriate if relief were the appropriate intervention, but relief was not the appropriate intervention. These people could participate in their own development. And so we went in, we bought the food, we cooked the food, we served the food, we cleaned up afterwards. We basically communicated to these people, you are helpless, you can't do anything, you need us to fix you. And what that does is it actually undermines people's stewardship. It undermines people's understanding that they have abilities and gifts that they need to use to the glory of God.
Well, Brian, that's an excellent example of using the wrong type of solution for poverty. Do you have other examples of a relief effort that actually did more harm than good?
Yeah, let me give you an example internationally. You know, many people are very enamored with microfinance, and the Chalmers Center that I direct is very involved in that line of work. Oftentimes in microfinance, the first thing that people think is that we need to introduce outside money to provide loans to poor people. Let's take capital from the West and pour that in and lend money to poor people. And sometimes there's a need for that. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? We've also discovered that the poor can save their own money, and they can then pool that money and lend that money to one another. And sometimes when we introduce outside loan capital, we undermine people's capacity to save. We're finding that the very poorest people on the planet actually can and do save if they're provided with a mechanism to do so.
And so, Brian, in your model, you have actually seen people create something like a savings and loan, what we would call a credit union here in the U.S.
Just one example, right now in the country of Rwanda, we have a project going on there, and the Anglican Church of Rwanda is involved with this, and an organization called Hope International. And we've helped churches there to promote these savings and credit associations, and the very poorest people in a post-genocide situation have saved $750,000 in the course of a year.
Oh, wow. So, Brian, for those who are listening who love to go on short-term mission trips and help the poor, what's your definition of a successful mission trip to help the poor?
Again, we want to see people restored to those four key relationships. And one of the ways that those relationships are broken is that the poor often see themselves as less than human. They experience shame and a loss of dignity and a loss of a sense of purpose. Oftentimes, short-term missions trips exacerbate that problem because we come in as the Americans, and our message is either explicitly or implicitly, we're here to fix you. You need us. We are the saviors who are going to make your life better. And we actually undermine people's self-image and dignity. And so my own view is that a short-term missions trip ought to change its name to a short-term learning trip or a short-term vision trip or a short-term educational trip. And what we ought to do is think less about going and doing something to them and more about going and learning from them. And that dynamic of going as a learner puts the people on the other end in a position of teaching us. And it begins that process of restoring them to having a sense of dignity and worth because they're teaching us some things about their own situation.
Well, Brian, we have many people listening today who their hearts have been stirred. They want to make a difference. They want to do it right. They want to see people restored in these four broken relationships. Where can they get a hold of your book?
The book is available from multiple sources. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. There's also a website associated with the book, onehelpinghurts.org, and they can purchase the book online there.
Well, Brian, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking with you.
You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area, or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life. And Chuck, at the top of the program, you mentioned that Brian was instrumental in your decision to use visual media to take God's truth to the poor and the ultra poor. And yesterday was a big day. We saw that the vision become reality as God provides, launched out into the public. But behind that, there's still so much that happened to see yesterday become a reality, and give us a little bit more of the behind the scenes.
Well, as you listen to Dr. Fickert, for one thing, you realize he is brilliant. Yeah. He just cannot help but catch that. I don't know if we said earlier that he has a PhD in economics from Yale, so he's obviously smarter than I am, and I have great respect for not only his insight, his research capacity, but also his heart for the Lord. And as he began to explain to us that poverty is more than material loss, it is a loss of healthy relationships, I began to understand the truth of that, because when we have a broken relationship with God, we become very, very vulnerable. And as he described all these broken relationships, broken relationship with God, a broken relationship with self, a separation from others who could possibly help you in the body of Christ, and also a broken relationship with the rest of creation, meaning the resources that God's put around you, I began to realize how important it was to lead off with a solution that points people back to the Lord. As he said, the social gospel doesn't work without Christ. You cannot take Christ out of the equation. So we have to point people back to God as our provider. And if you notice, that was the North Star in this effort, to point people to the most important part of overcoming their problem is looking to God as their provider. So to restore that relationship. And then secondly, to see themselves as a steward, to understand that our provider has given us resources to manage for our well-being, and that we're blessed by those resources. And oftentimes, Dave, the great paradox has been that people are living surrounded by resources, in some places even beautiful paradise, and they're starved to death. Then they do not understand God's principles of managing money, God's principles of living in his economy, and our dependency upon those resources and our call to be good stewards of them. And so that was a big part of our thinking in designing this new tool. And by the way, what we discovered is as we began to put these stories together, that they were attractive and compelling and impactful to every single audience in the world. We've never had an audience view them that didn't take something significant away from them. So they're not just for the poor and the ultra poor, Dave. That's our mission. That's our target audience. But they're for everyone. And I'm praying that our listeners are getting them now and are going to start to use them and get that message out that God does provide.
Well, the God Provides short film learning experience is available right now from Crown Financial Ministries. You can order by calling 1-800-722-1976 or online at crown.org. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.